This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The show is so easy to access after the fact on the Odyssey app. Everything is podcasted right there for you with the Odyssey Rewind. And if you just click on our show, every single segment is there and posted for you with a description that Al puts out there. So if you miss any of the show and you want to go back and listen, that's how you do it. I recommend it. That's how I'll listen to a lot of the stuff. I'll go through if there's something that I couldn't listen to on the midday show or afternoon show. Go to that Odyssey app and I'll scroll right to it and click it. So make sure you check out that free Odyssey app. The owners' meetings are going on and these guys are talking now. So, you know, Rob Saleh's talking, Brian Daboll's talking. Jerry will have some of that sound coming up in his update in about 25 minutes. And this notion and idea and theory, and I believe that a lot of it is based in fact, the questions that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are getting, and John Mara got yesterday, is about drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, or holding on to one if you talk to Woody Johnson.
Well, yes, and if you want to talk about that first or the Giants first.
Well, let me just say about Woody Johnson, I think that's just, you know, that's a smokescreen. Like, we support Zach, we think he's good, and it's the owner saying that, you know, they're going to hold on to him potentially if they can't trade him, because they're not going to cut him because they believe in his talent and all that other stuff. To me, that's just a smokescreen. Now, in order to trade him, they may have to put a draft pick with him. Mm-hmm. And the other team essentially accept his contract, but they get a draft pick with it.
Yeah.
So you're buying a draft pick, and Zach Wilson, in my eyes, is not going to be on this team next year.
No, I mean,
there's no way. He is too hyper explosive when it comes to the fan base.
Yeah, and he won't be. And what Woody Johnson is doing is trying to create or get some of the leverage back. You saw what some of these other quarterbacks went for. No one's trading anything for Zach Wilson. And everybody knows, like what you just said about Zach Wilson, every other general manager knows that he can't be on the team.
If the Jets don't want to pay the salary, which is probably why they don't want to cut Zach Wilson, like I said, they may have to attach like a swap of draft picks so it's not as embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, maybe you, Zach Wilson and a fourth for somebody's seventh. You see what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. So the team that's getting Zach Wilson is also getting a draft pick that they're more interested in, and that's why they're taking on the contract.
Or they may, you know, find that they could rehabilitate him. I don't know. Maybe San Francisco would want him with one of their compensatory picks, or, you know, they swap picks all the time. So you never know. But I do think it's going to have to be somebody, at least as I sit here now and then listen to what Woody Johnson said yesterday, and almost, it's going to have to there's going to have to be some sort of swap of draft picks, so somebody is picking up the salary but essentially buying an extra draft pick or a higher draft pick.
I mean, they're a year late on this, and I feel like I could say that I was on that because I did not want Zach Wilson being the backup quarterback last year. Couldn't believe he was coming back. They believed in him. You told me that he was going to be the backup because they wanted him to be the future quarterback after Aaron Rodgers was here for a few years. It ended up being miserable, and now he has to start his career somewhere else.
I just want to be totally, I told you that's what they were thinking. That's not what I believed.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it kind of worked out that way that he stayed, and the idea was that he was going to learn from Aaron Rodgers. And I think initially they got off to a great start. You know, and I think it was good for Zach to watch Aaron Rodgers do all the things that he did in training camp and how he led the team in training camp. We all saw that on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
We all loved it. We loved what Aaron was doing. You know, go eat with your other teammates. Go meet somebody else. You remember all those little tips that he was giving those guys?
Yeah, of course.
And that was great stuff. And I don't know why Zach, does he have horse blinders on? Not being able to understand that you need to be the leader of the entire team. I don't know. Maybe that was it. But then all of a sudden, you know, he gets hurt. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and is gone. And then it's Zach Wilson by himself. And I know that they probably talked and texted back and forth before Aaron came back here. But I also think that, you know, Aaron is such a powerful presence that when he wanted to practice, when he came back and that Achilles started to feel better,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there was a lot of unseen tension between the two of them. It's just natural. It's nobody's fault. It's just it's the business. It's somebody failing in the business and then being replaced by a guy by the name of Tim Boyle, then being asked to come back and then being told that he doesn't want to play, and then that getting out into the media and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And that's why that kid can't be here. That's why that kid has got to be traded or cut eventually. But I think it's going to be a swap of draft picks. And maybe somebody will eat the contract and, you know, buy a higher draft pick next year or something.
All right, I'm going to read you this John Mara quote. You tell me if you believe this is interesting and something to keep an eye on, or it's just what else is he going to say spot.
Okay.
All right. You know those what else are you going to say spots? Like people
yes.
say like, oh, man, like, you know, like Woody Johnson. What else are you going to say in that situation with Zach Wilson? Like, we hate the guy. We think he sucks. There's no way he's going to be on the roster.
Not going to say that.
Right.
Even though he did say at the Super Bowl that he didn't have a backup quarterback.
Right. He did do that, yes. Now he's trying to build up that leverage and build that thing back up that he might have screwed up.
Right.
All right, John Mara, talking about Shane and Daboll in the draft. Quote, if they fell in love with a quarterback and believe that is worth pick six or moving up, I certainly would support that. Is that a interesting thing, or is that a what else is he going to say spot?
I love that he would say that. And the reason I love that is because that means he believes in both of those two guys and that he is going to remain patient with those two guys.
Yeah.
And I like you and I have talked a million times. That first year when Brian Daboll gets coach of the year and they go to the playoffs kind of stunted what I think Joe Shane wanted to do to the roster. And that he was trying to continue to win. And then the way the season started last year and how they just got blasted in those first few games, I guess in the Cowboy game?
40-0.
Oh, it couldn't have started any worse. And then that started the realization that, at least for me anyway, as somebody who covers the team, that, you know, things were going, hey, we're going to go haywire.
So I think it's interesting and not a what else you're going to say spot because we have heard many times, Daniel Jones is our starting quarterback. We're sticking with Dan. When Daniel's healthy, he's going to come back. You know, we're not looking for a starting quarterback. You know, he could have said something along those lines and lied to us, and they could have still drafted a quarterback. But I do think there is something else he could have said here, as opposed to saying, hey, if they fall in love with a guy and they want to trade up or they want to go and get him at six, like, I'm all about
he
that.
He let Dave Gettleman do that with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he did. Yep, that is correct. So, here we go again.
but I do approve. But I do, look. I know that John Mara is very much a part of the decision making. He has to be. He's the controlling owner, and it's his. It's their money. It's the Tisch money. It's his money. His family's money, and they have to make the decisions, and they have to be a part of it. And I know he wants nothing more than to win. I know that. I know, and he'll spend money to win. Like, nobody talks about how much money, dead cap money, that they've had over the last few years and how they've had to unwind from some unruly and bad contracts.
Yeah.
And some guys that didn't work out. And Daniel Jones happens to fall into that category right now.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of dead cap money, there is a, it's, the audio is not great on it because it's someone with their cell phone. Might even been off of TV, but there's a Denver reporter asking Sean Payton, goes, with all the tremendous amount of dead cap money that you had to deal with getting rid of Russell Wilson, is that something that was a tough decision to make? And he takes a sip of his coffee and goes, no.
Oh, great.
Sean Payton just, no.
So, you know, interestingly, when you are on your vacation, the Pittsburgh Steelers made a lot of moves at the quarterback position, basically overhauled the whole thing. Mason Rudolph gone, Kenny Pickett gone. They sign Russell Wilson. They tell Russell Wilson that it's your job. Essentially, and this is why Kenny Pickett wanted to leave. They honored Kenny Pickett's request, which I appreciate, and they let him go. And now they go out and they trade for Justin Fields.
Yes, that's right.
This is going to be really interesting to watch because I do believe that Russell Wilson is probably going to be the number one guy when the season starts. If they get off to like that first, he's got to learn a whole new offense because they're working with Arthur Smith now. He's got to learn a whole new offense. If the first 4 weeks of this season they go 1-3, they're going to go right to Justin Fields because the fan base is going to want Justin Fields on the field.
Yeah, I mean, and Omar Khan, the general manager there, I believe was brilliant. He didn't have anybody that was working on the roster, and he got two guys that potentially could vault them into a conversation with the playoffs, even though they're in a very difficult division. They had to do something else. They couldn't go with Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph. And he got Russell Wilson for $1.6 million and basically got Justin Fields for the essentially
six-round draft.
Yeah, six-round draft. I mean, come on. How great is that if you're doing an overhaul in an offseason?
But let me ask you a question. Are those two quarterbacks good enough to beat Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow?
Probably not, but that's a better chance of those guys doing it than Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph.
And you know, and they're going to have a top flight defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be able to overhaul and not pay that much for those guys and to bring in one guy who's a Super Bowl winner and, you know, he's
a new offensive coordinator.
Right. That is true, which is always tough. You know, you're thinking about Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, these guys, first year new offense. That's not, I don't think that's talked about enough. I know you talk about it. But, I mean, everybody assumes that it's just like you step in there and then you learn the offense, and that's it. Doesn't work that way.
You got to learn exactly what the offensive coordinator. Now, if a good offensive coordinator is going to hopefully call plays that's going to bring the best out of these plays. That's why I thought Luke Getsy in Chicago there switched after, I think it was, I don't know if it was two, I think it was 2 years ago, after a bye week. And they went back to more RPOs, run pass, you know, option kind of stuff for Justin Fields because he's such an unbelievable athlete. So they want to utilize some of the strengths that he had and minimize some of the other stuff that he wasn't doing well, which I thought was great. But then they fired Getsy, and that's why I thought Justin Fields would end up going to Las Vegas because that's where Getsy ended up. But that was not the case. But yeah, now Justin's got to go through a whole nother learning process with a new team and a new offense, which I knew was going to be the case. I just thought it was going to be with Vegas where he would have known the offense and the offensive coordinator. But maybe the offensive coordinator didn't like Justin and did not push for him to Antonio Pierce.
Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's up this morning?
So I have a question. It's kind of a trade scenario that I don't know if it's even realistic. But if the Giants are up at five, or the Giants are up at six and have five, J.J. McCarthy's still available, is it worth calling the Chargers and offering the sixth-round pick for Justin Herbert? Harbaugh's been all over the fact that J.J.'s an unbelievable quarterback, he's untapped potential, and that they're rebuilding their offense completely. I mean, they lost all their wide receivers. They have really no weapons. Is that a trade that would be worth entertaining? I know they just extended him last year. But it's a new regime. You give him a chance to take his quarterback. He gets his choice at wide receiver. Whatever the two top wide receivers that are going to be left, is that even worth entertaining as Joe, you know?
Well, I think first and foremost, if you are All right, I'll go down this trade scenario with you because everybody thinks that Jim Harbaugh is in love with J.J. McCarthy, and why wouldn't he be? They won a national championship together, and right after he had left Michigan, he said something about J.J. McCarthy that once the combine is over, J.J. McCarthy is going to rock, I'm paraphrasing here, rocket up the draft board, and I think he is. He's one of these guys that all of a sudden is just flying up the draft board. He's been linked to both the Giants. He's been linked to the Minnesota Vikings. Everybody thinks that there's going to be four quarterbacks taken in the top five picks now. I mean, it's out of control at this point. Now, if Jim Harbaugh wanted J.J. McCarthy and he called up the Giants and he said, you can have Justin Herbert. We want your pick. The Giants would have to insist that they have to take on Daniel Jones' final year of the contract. Daniel Jones would have to be in that trade.
Yeah, that would make financial sense all around. Now, listen, I know you're entertaining this and don't believe it's a true thing.
No.
We all know what's going on here. Jim Harbaugh is pumping up his guy. He wants him to get drafted as high as possible, which means more money for him. And when he's asked about him, he's going to talk about him glowingly. As you just said, they won a national championship together. Jim Harbaugh had a choice of a few jobs in the NFL this offseason. He chose to go to the Chargers, much in part because of Justin Herbert.
And that's what he said when he got there.
Right, so.
I mean, but, you know, things change in football. And if there is a guy that lives up to that ruthless kind of reputation that I like, he's the guy. I believe that Coach Belichick is ruthless. I think Andy Reid is ruthless in a certain way.
Mm.
And I know that Jim Harbaugh is. I know John Harbaugh is, too.
Yeah, but that's not happening. Come on.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't look, anything's possible, but it's more likely that the Minnesota Vikings try to get in front of the Giants with the Cardinals pick.
If I were the Giants and not interested in J.J. McCarthy, I would make the Vikings believe that they were seriously and just extract the haul from that GM who seems to be in over his head in Minnesota. That's what I would do. But they may be, the Giants
But the Cardinals may do that, and then all of a sudden, now the Giants are sitting there at six, and all these quarterbacks and maybe one offensive tackle or one of the wide receivers is taken.
What's that
now
name?
Now, like somebody was saying, I think it was Mike Tomlin who was saying this at the owners' meeting. Like, if you have, like, the number four or number five pick, it's like having the number one pick in the draft if you're not in the quarterback market.
Yeah. Yep. It is. Because these top teams are going to be picking quarterbacks, and we know it for a fact. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Weather brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Cloudy today with a high of 49. It's 40 degrees right now in the city.
You know, one of the interesting things to me is the Patriots. Because the Patriots signed Jacoby Brissett. And you know what? They're not a very good team. They're a long way away. Do they go back down that road? Or do they make a trade out of number three and get more draft picks and try to build the team before they draft a player?
Well, let's go to the break.
Drafted a quarterback.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Tomorrow is Jersey Mike's Day of Giving. 100%. You heard that right. 100% of all proceeds will go to local charities in your neighborhood. There's no better day than tomorrow to visit your local Jersey Mike's. You can become a sub above. For more info, go to jerseymikes.com. And thank you. And Jersey Mike's stopped by and dropped some sandwiches off to us. And I saw Eddie chomping on one in a break.
Me too.
Jerry had one.
A number eight for Troy Aikman.
Oh, number eight. What's on that number eight? Do you remember?
Sub. It was turkey sub. And bacon. That's
yeah,
right.
Turkey sub. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was outstanding.
Oh, very good. Mike's.
Pretty good.
And they've been supporters of us for a while. We're supporters of them. So thank you, Jersey Mike's. All right, Jerry, what's happening over there?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Monmouth University. Bigger thinking, more inspired, you amplified. I heard you talking some football earlier this hour, so here's a couple. I do not have the John Mara clip talking about if they would like to draft a quarterback, he would back them. I don't have a lot of John Mara, actually. There's just a couple from him. In terms of their current quarterback, that would be Daniel Jones.
Still have a lot of confidence in Daniel. I think the Daniel that we saw in 2022 is the real deal.
He is the real deal. But, sir, what happened last year?
Last year, he was hurt. A lot of his offensive linemen were hurt. And things just did not go our way, but I still have all the confidence in the world.
That damn offensive line. And also, I don't have the clip talking about him being sick about Saquon Barkley going to Philadelphia. Those were the two from Mara that we do have. We also did hear as well from Woody. Matter of fact, I think Brian Daboll is speaking right now. As we sit
looks
here.
Looks a little thinner. Someone took a picture of him as he was speaking right now. And
yeah.
So he actually, I don't think it's an optical illusion. I think he's actually... He looks a lot thinner.
He looks good.
There's one photo out there. I forgot who posted it. And they put a quote from what he was discussing. Remember last week you were talking about how they can put a photo of anything they want up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one photo of Daboll with the quote. And he looks like... it's a terrible shot.
That's
what
they do.
Mouth is wide open.
They find in a video a moment and pause it where you look completely...
Ridiculous.
Yes. Thank you. And they did that in Awful Announcing, did that to me with Ryan Clark. They had me doing his face like, Geo fires back at Ryan Clark. Obviously, whoever wrote the article liked Ryan Clark more than me
because
I'm plastered up there. It could have been me sitting here with a smile like, you know, this, but instead it was.
I forgot to even ask you about that. Yeah. It seems like it happened 100 years ago.
I know. Especially was in the airport I saw it get on the plane.
You guys going to get together and clear the air?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the tiki's of the... Exactly right. That's going to show up somewhere, I guarantee it. I don't know. I mean, he said DM'd me his cell phone number, but I don't have that in my DMs. I mean, does he really want to have a conversation about
this? I don't
know. It's just the thing that I was trying to point out was like the hypocrisy of it, where he was talking publicly about Tiki Barber being a bad teammate in the locker room. Now, he didn't call Tiki Barber to talk about that before he said it, right? But that's what he wanted us to do after he said what he said.
Right.
So I'm like,
so what did you say?
I said he was a D-bag in the Steelers locker room.
Okay.
And like, being a professional that he learned not to be from Tiki Barber, then obviously it was the opposite because I did not see a professional in the Steelers locker room a lot of the time with him. So, and this is something I didn't necessarily bring up out of nowhere. I just thought that like, it was just hilarious to me how like he could go on there and say how Tiki's a terrible teammate and trash him without calling Tiki. But the second that Tiki was
on ESPN, by the way, on a big
platform. I think it was on a podcast. I don't think it was on ESPN.
All right.
But that goes out there. But then Tiki responds, and then I respond, and he's like, well, why didn't you talk to me beforehand? We should be like three men in a room. Like, well, you just did the same thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe he didn't like the language, and Tiki said jackass, I said D-bag, whatever. But like, dude, you're in this business now. You know what I'm saying?
I think we need to sit down in Little Italy. That would be perfect.
I mean, do it on the air, too. And the other thing is, I've said everything I had to say. Like, whatever he says to me now is not going to change my perception of him back then. And I don't know him now. But then, that's the way he was in the locker room. So, I don't know. I mean, it just...
Like, you're in the business now.
Right.
You're going to say stuff about people. It's going to come back to you. I've experienced this many, many times. We all have. So just buckle up, man.
I mean,
welcome. You're welcome, Matt.
When I leave between the sports minutes with JR, you fight with Ryan Clark. What else happened?
CeeLo and Al.
That's right. CeeLo walked out.
Storm out spot.
That was a storm out spot. I mean, you guys tend to lose it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's quite entertaining.
Yeah.
I thought so. I mean, I don't know. We were a bit of a rudderless ship without you, but it ended up, I think, being an entertaining week.
Yeah, it was very, a lot of fireworks.
I have other things I can do. I can go get audio.
Freaking do them.
Very good.
And CeeLo trying to pretend. Like, because CeeLo doesn't want any heat on him. He hates the social media heat. He loves the social media love.
Yeah, he's like Peter Schwartz.
Loves that. So he was getting heat from storming out of the studio. How do you storm out of the studio? Stay in there, be a man, argue with him. So then he changed his story, like Shohei Ohtani. Like, to be fair, we were going to a break, so I would have been leaving anyway. No, all right. You said you had other things to do. You got up, threw your headphones down, stormed out, and grabbed your coffee.
And
you stormed out.
And skipped the rest of the next segment.
And didn't come back.
Until the end.
Right. Or didn't come back.
That was a storm out spot, without question.
Al's sitting there drowning with these phone calls. And still up out there in the newsroom, and you're telling me you weren't angry, you're just going to a break anyway? Stop. We all know what happened. It happens all the time in radio.
The best part of that was not the fact that he took the calls, but when he comes back and he says, he said it was hard to do a show. Let's go to the calls.
But first he started reading tweets. He's like, this guy says
I was drowning out there.
It was rough.
It was very, very funny.
But we were dying laughing.
Have you had a conversation with the program director that's still here about CeeLo's actions and how he left you in a lurch?
It did not even come up in any conversations. Yeah.
Wow.
I think because CeeLo came back the last segment, it was like, all right, we're all good
fine.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it at 6:25 and hashed it out and the whole thing. But it was CeeLo getting angry like that was awesome.
Was it me this time?
Yeah. Did you listen to the whole thing, Boomer, by any chance?
I did.
This is, you just won't stop talking.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to CeeLo.
Just stop talking. Won't stop
so I'm
talking?
Disagreeing.
Okay.
Would you like me to just agree with everything you say? Do you find that to be compelling radio? I disagree.
God, you never stop talking.
I'll tell you what, Al. I'll turn the mic off, and you can do the rest of the warm-up show yourself, okay?
Yeah.
I have other things I can do. I can get audio.
Freaking do them.
Very good. See you later.
All right.
Guys.
Michael's a bull laughing, so I've never had more people listen to that report.
That was the best spot to have a live read. Oh, man, oh, man.
You never stop talking.
God, stop talking.
It was funny.
CeeLo did have a point, though, when he came back. He's like, listen, I get killed for not having an opinion all the time. Everybody says, CeeLo, you never say anything. I'm finally saying something. You tell me to stop talking.
And he's also been conditioned with the whole Peter.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, like, Peter.
Open your mouth.
Yeah, hello. Hello, Peter.
Now, Jared, you mentioned Ryan Clark. He played for the Steelers. If I asked Steelers ownership, what would a successful season be? What do you think they'd say?
Playoffs.
Yeah, sure. If I asked Robert Kraft what a successful season would be, what do you think he'd say?
Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, let's ask Woody Johnson what a successful season is to him.
Successful season. It's kind of in the eye of the beholder.
You know, I wonder.
That's not a good answer.
I wonder. I don't know this. Anybody ask him this the other day?
I don't know.
Because what happens if Donald Trump wins the presidency? Is he going back to Britain?
That is a good question, actually.
Mm.
And then his brother takes over again?
I mean, he's up there on stage.
Rehires Adam Gase.
Could you imagine?
Wow. Yeah, that is very interesting. And by the way, Rob Salah gave a wuss answer on
I agree.
That too.
I have that here, too, because that's part of this whole segment. He was asked point blank, is anything now Aaron Rodgers will be back. They're expecting him April and May and, back on the practice field. So you were hoping he's fully healthy. So is anything short of the playoffs a failure? That was the question.
I'll never say that. It's, like I said, put your head down, do the best you can, put your work in. And obviously we all want to win games. We all want to go to the playoffs. We all want to win championships.
But he wouldn't.
I mean, guys, you got to understand something. None of us that have ever played or coached are ever going to use the word failure before the season even starts. We're not. And, you know, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, but time.
And he's got to answer it that way.
Then just say it would be a it'd be horribly disappointing to not make the playoffs and leave it there.
Then you should write his answers for him. I mean, he's
No. He's been doing this for 4 years now. He's not a rookie anymore. Right.
I mean, and no Jet fan wants to hear that. This is the way that he talks to the fans. And the actions that they have made tells you that they are all in and they can't miss the playoffs, especially after last year. You know, his answer should be something like, you're kidding me, right? After everything that we have done, what we went through last year with Aaron's injury, you're going to tell me that we're going to miss the playoffs again? After all these signings and everything we've done, that would be terrible. Yeah, it would. So, of course, we're trying to do that.
You know,
and not just make the playoffs, win the goddamn division. Rich Cimini. That's what I would say.
And I like the guy. I'm one of the few that actually like him.
But I'm just, you know, my thing is I think back to last year when he was texting with Joe Beningo. And Joe Beningo decided to let everybody
know. He don't like the quarterback, I can tell you that. he hates him. And don't get me started on this nephew of his. That he hates, too. Nobody knows about this guy, but what a total loser. But anyway, that's off topic. Hey, but he hates... Let's go back to him hating Zach Wilson. So I've got all the text right here. It says that he hates his quarterback. What? What'd I do? I don't understand. What? He sent it to me?
And by the way, his beard looks like he put shoe polish in it.
I know.
There's no way it's
dark.
That perfect.
That is dark. But I will say this. That he... He told Joe Beningo everything that a coach would tell his buddies.
Yeah.
As to why they were losing last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Joe just kind of...
Told everybody.
Told
the press conference himself.
So, I mean, I know where he's coming from. I think there's more to that cut, too. I think, didn't he also say we have to win and it's... We have to... I mean, I don't know. I don't get that upset about those comments because I think
just,
they...
You want them to be publicly as pissed off and wanting to come back and kick ass as the fan base does. And when you hear like, if we don't make the playoffs, it's going to be a failure. Well, damn right it will be.
How about this? I'll give you a perfect example of what this situation that was presented to us just this year by a team. So if you remember last year, you guys were making fun of me when the Devils took the Rangers out of the playoffs. And you remember, you guys were busting my chops. And all that other crap and everything else. And then when training camp started this year, they fired the coach from last year. They're bringing Laviolette. Every single man on that team that was a part of the playoff disappointment last year all said that they were fueled to have a great season this year because of that disappointment. So, in actuality, the Rangers did exactly what you want the Jets to do.
Yes.
When you're now asked about this upcoming season, I want you to tell me that you are coming back to win.
I'll give you another one. The Yankees. They did that. Last year was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
This year has to be different. Brian Cashman said it. Hal Steinbrenner said it. But meanwhile, you got the Sala and Woody Johnson going, it's the eye of the beholder. What's a successful season? I mean, there's been some great 2-15 years out there. I mean, where teams are building.
I got to tell you, I was a part of a 3-13 season that I thought was quite amazing. The fact that we won 3 games was just amazing. I don't know how we did that.
It's just not what the Jet fan wants to hear.
Yeah,
that's all.
I get it.
And by the way, great defense and a Hall of Fame quarterback. Can you be in the top half of teams to make the playoffs? Yeah. Not asking for a lot. Are we?
No.
Okay, fair enough. What else? Just quickly, the Bears and Texans will be playing in the Hall of Fame game. I don't know if we knew that. August 1st, I think that was announced earlier today. You had the Knicks beat the Pistons 124-99. Notable as Dante DiVincenzo had a franchise record 11 threes and scored a career-high 40. You had the Nets win in Toronto. You got this Raptors forward, Jonte Porter, under investigation by the league for multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months. And yes, we heard from Otani yesterday. We've played the clips through the morning. Some more coming up next hour.
All right, thank you, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I'm calling Song of the Summer already. I'm calling it. Did you happen to see the Post Malone post of the him and Morgan Wallen snippet that is coming out? Go to, it's no curses, go to Post Malone's X account. I believe he has it pinned. It's him just sitting there listening to the song of him and Morgan Wallen. And I'm telling you right now, I can smell a hit when I hear a hit. It's an ability that I have, and this song will be huge.
You are one. It takes two to break out into. Ooh, baby, you blame me, and baby, I blame you. Oh, that ain't it, too. I have some help. It ain't like I can make this kind of mess all by myself. Don't act like you ain't helped me pull that bottle off the shelf. Been deep in every weekend, if you couldn't tell. They say teamwork makes a dream work.
Oh, that's going to be number one immediately. I guarantee, and that's all that's out of the song. It's not out yet. I don't even know if it has a name. I don't think it has a name. The second that they drop that song will be number one immediately.
It's a country pop song.
Essentially,
that's what it sounds like, yes.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess it's on Post Malone's album that's coming out. Is that? I'm not sure. But anyway, he's the one that posted it. But that's going to be it. And this is about the time where they start to sprinkle in the summer hits.
Oh, yeah.
The summer hits. You know, that's part of the thing that kind of sucks that music radio isn't what it used to be. Like, I know that there's different ways to get your music and you still get it, but like when you hadn't heard a song and you were like this time of year, like I loved like high school, early college years, like this time of year in the spring, and like an artist would drop something you hadn't heard before and you were like, whoa. And like the warm months were coming up, you're like, that's going to be the song of the summer. That's the one. Now you have to find it different ways.
And you couldn't wait to hear it again on
the
radio.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But now what happens is these songs come out and you just play them to death and you're sick of them in 2 days.
And you download them on your iTunes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, over and over and over and over again. But it was something special about, you know, like having everything at your fingertips ruined a lot of stuff.
You think?
It really did. I mean, the very few things are special these days. You know, even the good jokes get ruined too quick. Like there was, you know, someone in your crew could have the funny joke. But now if someone has the funny joke and it gets put out on X or Instagram or whatever, it just goes everywhere. And by the time you get it, everybody's seen it already and it's done. It's not funny anymore.
You know, on your Instagram, when you come across all these different comedians and how these different comedians do things differently is amazing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously all the musicians and singers and people like that have incredible talent. The musicians have to stay current and have to be different than everybody else in that genre.
I mean, there was something really special, too, about, like, I remember watching MTV back in the day, and I remember Pearl Jam was not putting out any music videos, but there was a rumor that they were going to put out a video when their album Versus came out, and I was waiting for it. So, like, every day I'd turn on the music video show, whatever. It wasn't TRL at that point. It was something else. I was like, maybe the Pearl Jam video will be today. And it was never. It was never. And the next day. Are we waiting something for in the mail? Yeah. Or like you're waiting for that picture of the naked woman to load. And it would just go very slowly and slowly and slowly. And then all of a sudden the boobies would be there. You know, like things like that. It made it even more special when you had the dial-up internet. And it took 15 minutes for something to happen. And I know that if we went back to it now, we'd be so frustrated because we have everything at our fingertips. But there was something about not being able to access everything immediately that made life feel more special.
And simple.
Yeah.
And you weren't impacted by so many things. But I would also say this, that's the big difference between me and you. I mean, you were sitting home on your dial-up waiting for something to pop up on your screen, and I was out playing.
Well, I was 7 while this was going on. No, yeah. I'm kidding. Al, you were about to say something about...
you're talking about the jokes. Like, the Pete Rose posted a video yesterday saying, hey, if I would have had an interpreter, I would have gone scot-free.
Yeah.
I had 1,000 phone calls yesterday doing that same joke. Yeah. Like, Pete was late to his own joke.
Exactly. And you said, I didn't see the video, but you said this morning that it looked like he was reading that?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You're sitting next to some fat guy.
Correct, the big fat guy.
The big fat guy. I mean, I just, I,
what? Who is this big fat guy?
I don't know. It was a big fat guy sitting next to him.
Oh, my goodness.
Like three chins.
Yeah, really? He was a big fella, yep.
Yeah.
Like super, like 500
like it looked
pounds?
Like, I don't know if it was his muscle. Maybe he has a security guard or something.
It was his muscle.
Yeah.
I mean, it sound like muscle to me. Oh, wow. Yeah, there he is. Woof. Yeah, that guy is humongous. My boys, Maddie and Pete. Maddie. And that's on Josh Booty's Instagram?
What the fuck?
Is that like the most 2024 thing you ever heard in your life?
Yes.
Jesus. Anyway, so that's a little, like, that Post Malone, Morgan Wallen thing made me think about, like, I like the way that they tease that. And it reminded me of getting excited about things like I used to when I was
But
when
you're
going to
be done with it by mid-May.
Probably. But it depends on when it drops. I mean, I try not to play songs out. I really try to do that. Like, there's certain songs I will only play on the boat because I love them so much and I want them to be like the boat songs. And if I hear it anywhere else, I shut it off because I don't want to get sick of it.
You still go out on the boat?
Yeah, when it's summertime, yeah.
Oh, all right.
I do. It's a family thing now. It's a family vehicle.
Okay, that's perfect.
It used to be my sanctuary. Now it's a family vehicle.
And now golf is your sanctuary.
Right. My sanctuary is called Glen Oaks. White.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!